Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. You know, here in Singapore for the past 2 years, whenever you go out, you would have noticed it's a little bit quieter than usual, except in the past 2-3 weeks where live music has returned. I mean, can you imagine the impact it had on these guys, especially those that relied on it for their bread and butter? Not only the musicians, but the places, the establishments that provided these live music. One of the places that comes to mind is Timber Group. I'm sure you've been there before. For about 17 years, the F&B company has not only been a place for dinner and late night drinks, but also a venue for local musicians to find their sound. You know, some would call it a home for musicians. And if you've ever been to one of these Timber outlets, you would have seen long queues just trying to get to the venue, enjoying the music. It's very lively. And now it's back. Live music is back. So how is the Timber Group picking up the pieces? On the line with me this morning is Danny Leung, the CEO of Timber Group. Danny, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good, sir. It has really been a long time. I mean, Ryan and myself was just talking yesterday about the duck pizza. We will be back. Don't worry.
We'll invite you back. Of course, we'll have one together.
Man, yeah. I miss you, my friend. And yeah. I have been following you on social media. You've been quite vocal. It's been really, really challenging. But first, let's reintroduce the Timber Group to anyone who's listening right now. Tell us a little bit more about it and how it's evolved over the years.
I mean, we started 17 years ago, obviously, as you know, we had a substation garden. We've done a few events, and you were involved in it in the past too, right? So that was the very first one. I mean, it was just a restaurant bar, live music venue, a lot of passion supporting Singapore bands. But then it grew to the Arts House and then on and on. And then I think one of the major milestones was when we opened Timber Plus One North at Ayer Rajah, which is really more of a food park. You know, multiple stores, variety of food. We run a bottle shop. So if you think about it, it's kind of like the modern day bigger kopitiam lah. But actually the food park lah, small restaurants and all. So variety of food is very important. And of course, you know, among all the variety of food, you have a live band to kind of entertain you and play your requests. So I think we kind of found the business model kind of developing and kind of pivoted even before COVID, you know.
Yeah.
And then right now it's kind of helped us also survive this period because food is now a central core, right, of our business too. I mean, running a food park. Mm. And we also have Yishun Park Hawker Center. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the new one at Eastside, Timber Plus Eastside at Singapore Expo. So I think it's been great, the journey. It's just a matter of adjusting, right? And the COVID, as everybody says, it's a reset button. You know, I think as businesses, as brands like Timber, I mean, we have to continually think about what's our core values and what's our core products, and hopefully be able to just grow again and rebuild. That's what we're doing right now.
It is really a rebuilding because I followed you guys for a long time, and it's not just everything that you've talked about. I mean, at one point, you guys were even involved in various events, you know, festivals that had cover bands, you know, and you guys were providing the alcohol and the food. So it's a lot of consolidation, I would imagine, over the past 2 years.
Absolutely. That's what we have to do and had to do. COVID, yes, is a very bad situation for a lot and many, many of us, but in a way, it's also a good time to actually take 2 steps back and say, okay, what is the things that we have to kind of work on and preserve? You know, what are things that you have to let go, right? So we really, really went back to the drawing board. And I'm very happy that I have a great team with me. And we are very transparent, very, you know, we have honest brainstorming. And then I think it's really helped us, actually. The last 7-8 months, especially, it's really helped us to kind of reboot. And then I think we're growing a lot more stronger than, say, maybe 9-10 months ago. I think that time, nobody really knew what was going to happen. 5 packs, 8 packs, 2 packs, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of changes, so it was quite a disruptive. But I think now with a lot more stability, you know, the restrictions have been relaxed. We are moving on quite well.
Yeah.
You know, especially with all the hard work that we've done, brainstorming and changing our strategy.
Yeah. And you became CEO amidst the pandemic. I think previously you were Chief Creative Officer. Tell us a little bit about the challenge. Edward's not helping you anymore.
Edward is no longer, involved in the business. I mean, he's very focused
on politics, right?
In his career now as a politician. So, I mean, yes, I took over in June. We started 17 years ago with Substation Garden. We came out with this concept, and I came out with the name Timber. So we're very appreciative of everything that he has contributed. But of course, I mean, with COVID, it presented an opportunity with him. He offered an opportunity to have a different career too. Yeah. So for me, I mean, when I went straight into it, it was a lot on the shoulders, to be honest. I mean, it's not the best time to actually kind of take over F&B brand also because, you know, the challenges with COVID presented. But, I mean, music has always been a core inspiration. So when I went into the job, all I could think about is the day where we can have our bands back on stage, you know. I think at very least, that gives that oxygen, you know, to the brand, right? I mean, everything else is all business strategies. It's all about structuring your team and making sure they're all on the same page. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Timber Group, the DNA is music. So I'm a musician myself.
Yes.
So the motivation that I had when I took over as CEO was to make sure that we come back to our former beautiful stage with our musicians and our Singapore bands, you know, making a career out of their passion.
Yeah.
You know, and that drives me, really.
Actually,
and it's obviously good to see the audience come back, and they've been coming back like crazy.
Yeah.
Elliot, it's crazy, you know.
Yeah. I have seen. In fact, I'll be honest, I was supposed to be there a couple of weeks ago and I was like, oh my God, so crowded. Wow, really? The hunger is there, you know. I must say though, as a musician, I think it's gone a long way in your relationship building skills. It comes so natural to you. And the reason I bring that up is, what kind of a part did that play where you had to renegotiate things like rental, manage costs, talk to staff? I mean, that must have been so challenging.
It is. I mean, of course, you know, left brain, right brain situation, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to be very disciplined. I mean, as a business entrepreneur or a leader, right, you have to be very disciplined. It's not so much about emotions. I mean, the emotions part, the passion part is important because that drives you, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that makes people feel excited. People who join our company also feel excited because they're representing Singapore music, the bands, etc. You know, Singapore food. No, let's not forget that. I mean, we've been doing that a lot also. But I think the other side of it is really discipline. I mean, to sit down and think, okay, what else do we need to do? And do it. I mean, the timeline, plan it, deadlines. So I think I've always been an entrepreneur, but more on the creative side. Now I just have to switch on my other side.
It's a lot more work.
I mean, with COVID, you can't waste time, you know. It's one thing about COVID is that there's no time wasting here. You kind of have to take the ball and run. So that's what we did.
As you talk about no time wasting, I mean, for you, is there any chance you could share what was the most painful decision you had to make during COVID?
I would say closing. Of course, the Substation Garden, we closed, but that wasn't because of COVID.
Yes.
Because, you know, the National Arts Council took it back
and
also redeveloping it. But for example, we have a Mando Pop concept called Switch. We did close that one.
Oh, yes.
Just for the time being, you know, we are looking at maybe opportunities, hopefully in the near future, to relook at that. But that's painful, but in some ways, you have to be responsible, right? I mean, it's kind of like when you're budgeting, you cannot think, I wish I can eat steak every day, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to kind of think, okay, you know, now, for time being, you just have to budget for the sake of the company and for the sake of the brand. It's all about surviving at that time. Surviving. Mm. Making sure that we are okay, making sure that we pay our people. You know, I mean, I'm very, very proud to say that we didn't cut anyone's pay during the period. Just maintaining the cash flow and also the budgeting and the finances of the company was the thing that I think about most.
Make sure
that our staff can still, you know, make a living, support their families. And even for the musicians, we also helped them find jobs outside of music during the period.
Okay.
We did live streaming. So we pivoted quite quickly. We did live stream series and we also did a concert series so that we can support some of these bands. So, you know, it's not just about the money. It's more about the practice, you know, to get them on stage, you know, get their juices going again, you know. Because one of the fears I had was that they lost their passion. They lose their passion.
Yeah, you get a bit like beaten down, right? And you know, musicians, they need that.
You know?
Yeah, you need that creativity. And I wanted to ask you about that, and you brought it up, right? Not having to do any pay cuts. I mean, how did you manage that? That's quite incredible.
I mean, we didn't want to do that because I think we could afford it as a company. To be honest with you, I mean, it really depends. There's nothing wrong with, you know, pay cuts and all this. I mean, you know, you have to do it, you have to do it. And I mean, a lot of companies did do it, right? But we were very, very blessed to be able to, thanks to also the grants and government support, we were able to maintain, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what I felt really terrible was, in some ways, the bands did lose their job. I mean, that one is, there's really no way anyone could help because, you know, we couldn't have live music, right? And that had to stop, right? And so, but we did help a number of our band members, I mean, our musicians, to transition to other jobs, temporary jobs. And so we did some shows. And that's why I say it comes back to what's our motivation. Make sure that our staff can survive this period. Make sure that we can support our musicians. And when we come back, everybody's ready. And I think that's the thing that I found very encouraging. The last 1 month or so when we have live music back, everybody was ready and eager. And thank goodness the audience was were too, because they were there. They were there to support.
On Instagram as well, the musicians were very eager once they were back. Sarah Wee, for example, it's like all that pent-up passion, you know, to show to the audience. Right now, everyone around the world is talking about inflation. Unfortunately, it looks like timber is going to have a new challenge. What are you dealing with in terms of this area?
I mean, this is something that we are looking at pretty much every week. Of course, inflation does impact us, but also it's manpower crunch. There, as you probably heard, also there's a manpower crunch, and shortage of manpower, which is actually more urgent matter, to be honest with you. Inflation, we can adjust here, we can adjust there. We try to go through this period. Like, hopefully, things get better in the next couple of months. But manpower crunch, that's something you can't avoid. Yeah. Right? You need people to run the business. Singapore wants to be the tourism hub. You know, F1 is coming back. You know, I'm sure you guys are going to be very busy with events. Right? We are all trying to do events. And, you know, as you know, as you brought up, I mean, we were involved in, we founded the BFS Asia. Remember that, right?
Yes.
We are still running it with Constellar, right? So if events are coming back and we are trying to be the tourist hub again, then we definitely need the nightlife to be alive. And nightlife is made up of people.
Yeah,
you still need to serve a drink, a cocktail, a beer to the people and smile at them. Hopefully.
I mean, at the most, we have to pay a little bit more, but because of the reputation, I think, you know, patrons will be willing to. Talking about this manpower, and I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, what kind of expectations need to be met here apart from salary? And is that harder with the younger generation?
It is harder. You know, this is not a profession that everybody looks towards. I mean, you know, I mean, they don't actually aspire also to be in F&B. I mean, that's real talk. I mean, there's no mincing of that. But when I was 16, 17 years old, I was so excited to find a job as a waiter and a jazz club. I still remember in Duxton. I mean, as a 17, 18 year old, I was eager to learn, right? But not everybody wants to learn about F&B, right? So we have to find a way to, well, firstly, I think policy-wise, I mean, I'm part of the Nightlife Association, and I think a lot of the associations are asking for a review of employment rules and terms for foreign and employment coming in for F&B. I think we need to look at that. I think it has to be, because F&B construction, certain industries are more dependent on foreign talent, right? And I think it's fair, right? So the second thing is, I think the perception about F&B, whether it's cook, whether it's bartender or whether it's F&B server, like Australia, you know, it's not a profession, or even Japan, but it's not a profession that people look down on. It's just part of life, right? You know, in fact, they are very proud sometimes to be a server. In Germany, in Australia, if you go there, they are very, you know, they walk around, you know, this is my career, lifelong career. So I think we need to kind of have that kind of mindset change too. But it'll take some time, at least. I think in the short term, it's really cross our fingers and find the best people. Because everybody is trying to find the best people. But also in the middle, at midterm, it's more about the policies, and hopefully that policies can help us engage some really talented people around the region.
It comes with a shift in mindset, and you'd be surprised, you know, working in F&B, the amount of things you can learn from the customers that are there. Only someone who has been in it would understand that. Just got a final question, Danny, just to quickly wrap up. I am curious about the roadmap for Timber. What can you share with us? What's coming up in the future?
Well, I mean, we are very excited because we are going to be launching a few things. We are actually working with Tidal Crystal with the fire stages. It's been very exciting. And we are actually the first to launch a music festival post-pandemic, right?
Nice.
And I really, I think it's really to support people like, you, as you mentioned, Sarah Wee, Benjamin King,
Jason
Lee, Supersonic, and all, people like that. But what's moving forward business-wise, we are actually going to be opening a new Timber Plus, which is, we are awarded the tender for that. It will be launched 2023. So it's the third Timber Plus. And the Timber Plus concept is something very exciting. For me, it's the energy I can't even describe. You know, multiple stalls, bottle shop, the colors, the graffiti, the design, and then you're there and the live band is playing and people are dancing, people are singing along. That to me is the future. Whether we open any more music restaurants and live music venues, we will. We are looking very carefully. You brought up about landlords and rental. That's a key issue. as you be, I'm sure, aware of.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting the best possible deal. And they have to understand also the landlords that this is not the right time to raise your rental.
Yeah.
It's about finding the right content, right? If you find the right content, it's a partnership. It's not really a landlord-tenant relationship anymore. It's really more like, hey, let's work together.
Yeah.
Get the football in. Right?
That's a good perspective.
So that's our plan. Of course, BFS Asia will probably come back soon. We are also doing a lot of events. We are really also essentially an events management company. So we are actually thinking about Timber Rock and Roots. You know, I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
We have Paul Simon and we had Bob Dylan before. So we're thinking maybe next year will be a nice time to bring that back also.
Wow, it's going to be an exciting 2022 and 2023.
Right.
Prepare your liver and your stomachs. Danny Leung, CEO of Timber Group. Danny, appreciate your time as always. You take care and stay safe. Yeah,
you must promise to have a meet up with me soon, right?
Okay? Absolutely, absolutely, my friend.
Okay, thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO, available on Google Play or the App Store.